I got the whole world in my hand. I got the globe world in my hand. Oh, come on. You got to have a little sense of humor every now and then, right? Okay? I got an email, and this lady was very respectful, very nice, and I'm not going to give her name, but she has been notified that this video is an answer to her email. Because she said, if you could please get back to me concerning this, I would greatly appreciate it. Now, I'm going to read her email, but again, I'm not going to read her name, because it is not my purpose in dealing with this to embarrass anybody, to offend anybody, to try to put people down simply because they believe something, or they've been led to believe something, or they say they believe something. Some people don't believe what they say they believe. That I don't agree with, that most of the people in the world don't believe in it, never have. So I'm not going to ridicule people or put them down simply because they've been taught to believe something that isn't true. The purpose of an evangelist, a preacher, a pastor, a teacher, is to educate. Now, it is also to point to certain things and say, this is wrong, this is not true, this is a lie. Some of the people who tell this lie are doing so because they really believe it. Some of the people telling this lie are just evil people with an evil agenda, and it's not the agenda you think. But it's the purpose of a pastor, a teacher, an evangelist to try to teach people the truth and to reach them with the truth and to try to change their mind and their way of thinking. That's the purpose of the website, geofrisbee.com, and these videos that I am either producing myself or the ones that I'm going through the internet and finding that I think best fits the model of this particular website. And that is, most of the people who have already convinced themselves that the earth is flat, my experience is you can't unteach them, because it's not in their head, it's in their heart. And since it's a deep-rooted belief, then reasoning with them doesn't change their mind. Even reasoning with them from scriptures doesn't change their mind. The same way that reasoning with a Roman Catholic priest will more than likely not result in him converting from Roman Catholicism to believing what the Bible says, because that belief is deep-rooted in his heart. So it is my purpose then. These are questions that, and there's a lot of questions on here, so I have a lot of ground to cover. But these are questions that a lot of people have asked me about. And there are some people who have been given these questions. They don't know how to answer it. And so they just, and because they don't answer it, they say, well, maybe these people are right. Maybe the earth is flat. But what I'm going to show you is the fallacy of the things that are, and to the person who wrote the email, I know that you got the majority of this from a Flat Earth website, because I found the article, all right? And so what I'm going to show is the fallacy, not of what you said, but of what this person said on the website that you got this from. The things that they said here are just not true. And in some cases, they didn't even stick with the King James. They went with other translations because it says what they wanted it to say better than the King James said. But when they went to the King James, it didn't say what they wanted it to say, so they switched to other translations. You can't do that. You're changing the rules and changing truth just because that's what you believe. All right? So let me read the email, and I'm going to address everything one item at a time. Pastor Mike, I've been watching your videos on YouTube for years. I believe you to be a good man. I appreciate that. And a good teacher of God's Word. I appreciate that.
So again, I appreciate the spirit in which you wrote this, and I'm going to return the same spirit. I did see that you posted some new videos on the Flat Earth Theory. However, government video are not proof to me, okay? I didn't just post government video, all right? And this is subject for another video. But there is a lot of images, video, photographs of the shape of the earth that did not come from a government source. Okay? They did not come from any government source. There are hundreds of thousands of images, both from the public sector and the private sector, of the shape of the earth. Now, in contrast to that, the Flat Earth people say that all photos and videos of this shape of the earth are computer graphics, computer generated, photoshopped. In other words, they're fake or paintings. Contrast that with the number of photographs or video of the flat earth. How many are there? There are none. There are paintings, and they look like paintings. They look like they're hand-drawn. But my point is, the Flat Earth people make a huge deal about every single video and photo of the shape, this shape of the earth, and yet, on their side, they have what amounts to a few, very few, hand-drawn or hand-painted images of the flat earth. They have no photos or video. So when it comes to that particular piece of evidence, who has the best evidence? It's not the flat earth side. They don't have any. So I want to hear proof that is in the KJV Bible. I'm glad you said that. And so far I've seen nothing. I hope I can change your mind. I've studied the Bible and have heard several people speak on this topic. Let me say this. My guess is you've heard several people speak on who were promoting this and not this. So now you're going to hear the alternative. I feel that our government would do anything and say anything to try to convince people that there is no God. When you say our government, how many people are in our government? State, local, and federal. And how many of those people are born-again Christians? I get it, not many. But to say that everybody, to say that our government is trying to convince people that there is no God, I do not agree with that statement. I agree that there are elements, both public and private. There are people in government who would convince people there's no God. But to say that our government, right now Jefferson County has a county executive, and that county executive I know to be a born-again Christian. And he is our government here, and he's not telling everybody that there is no God. Likewise, in the state of Missouri, there is a majority in both houses, representatives and Senate, that are very conservative people who believe in God. And they're not trying to convince everybody that there is no God. The current governor, Mike Parsons, I don't know much about him, but he's not trying to convince everybody that there is no God. So I don't think it's fair to say that our government is trying to tell everybody there is no God. There are people in our government, local, statewide, and federal government, that want people to believe that. But that statement as a whole is not totally true. So I do not put my faith in government. I get that. I get what you're saying. I'm going to send you a list of very good reasons of why I feel the KJV Bible could be speaking of flat earth. Here's my problem. Some of these verses are not KJV. Okay? And the KJV in these verses contradicts the verses that was sent. It's not your fault. That's what was posted on the Flat Earth website. So I get it. I personally have a problem with the fact that they claim we went to the moon in the 60s, considering that they did not have the technology several months before, or the fact that they didn't seem to know anything about how they got through the radiation belt. Those questions are actually answered by people a lot smarter than me. So I'm not going to deal with that issue. Okay? You can believe or not believe we went to the moon. As far as this is concerned, we don't care. Okay? There is scriptures in the Bible, in this Bible, that say that God said that man would live among the stars in the heavens. Okay? But we'll put that aside for now. Anyway, I would like you to give me Bible verses that say the earth is round. I'm going to address that in a minute. Because the Bible is the only thing I put my faith in and feel is true from the beginning to the end. I appreciate that, and I believe you when you say that. Please, when reading this, put science out of your mind and just go by the Bible, God's Word. Well, there's two types of science. The word science itself means knowledge. That's what the word means. Okay? And to say that science as a whole is evil and corrupt because science contradicts God's Word, that is, I think, offensive to God. I'm not trying to say you're being offended or you're offending God's Word, but that statement itself, it comes from a lot in the Flanders community, and they put all science on one side and the words of this Bible on the other. In my opinion, true factual science does not contradict the Bible. Everything that I see that science discovers, I won't say everything, but a lot of what man is discovering now, it's in the Bible. It's been in the Bible forever. DNA. You've seen me talk about DNA and the shape of DNA and the composition of DNA. That's science. But that science matches perfectly with what the Bible says. Okay, in thy book, all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. That's DNA and the work of DNA and the conception model that science taught us that when we look in the Bible, there it was all the time. Your doctor is a scientist, and he has to use scientific methods in order to correctly diagnose and treat any. Now, you may not put your confidence in doctors. Okay, I get that. But what I'm saying is, there is a lot of science in this world that does not in any way contradict the Word of God. Okay, there is science falsely called. Okay, and that I understand. Evolution does not agree with the Bible. In my opinion, then, the Bible is true and evolution is a lie. So I don't believe in evolution. I don't believe any of it. I have to believe what the Bible says. But I believe that there are scientific ways of proving that the Bible is in fact correct. So God does not ask us to take our reasoning abilities and set them aside when it comes to reading the Bible. Isaiah 53, come now, let us reason together. God is a reasonable God, okay? And he's approaching us using the reasoning centers of our brain with knowledge. The Bible teaches that one of the seven spirits of God is knowledge. The other one is understanding. Another one is wisdom. All three of these relate to our intake of things and our ability to separate them out from what is true and what is not true. That's knowledge, that's understanding, and that's wisdom. So I cannot set science and knowledge and understanding, I cannot set these aside as I read the Bible. All right? This is what one person who posted on their website believes. I cannot dismiss this as just a conspiracy theory unless the Bible tells me different. If you get back with me concerning this, so this is me getting back with you. All right, now, one of the things you said here is, let's see, okay. I would like you to give me Bible verses that say the earth is round. Okay. I understand what you're asking here. The Flat Earth community is demanding that people show them Bible verses that prove a spinning globe ball moving 1,000 miles an hour through space. That they say that a lot. Okay? I watch Flat Earth videos. I know what they say. Alright? So, here's my take on that. There really isn't a whole lot in the Bible concerning the shape of the earth. There is some, but there's not a whole lot in the Bible. Let me give you an example. In my opinion, the flat earth theory is not based upon what the Bible actually says. A lot of things about it, like at the end of this article that you copied, is my belief that it's Satan who deceives the whole world. This idea that Satan is the one who is trying to convince everybody that the earth is round to cover up the shape of the flat earth because God made the flat earth and that proves creation, and it's the devil who is convincing everybody that the earth is actually round. Well, 2 Timothy 3:16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God, so I believe what you believe. From Genesis to Revelation, it's all true, it's all the Word of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect and thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Thoroughly furnished means that everything that we are supposed to believe is going to come from the Bible. And I've already laid this out in my previous video. And answering the question, does the Bible teach us Satan's conspiracy to cover up the shape of the earth? And the answer is simply no. There is no place in the Bible. If we believe the Bible thoroughly furnishes us with all doctrine and everything that we're supposed to believe, why is it silent on this conspiracy supposedly that Satan has to cover up the shape of the earth? There are things in the Bible that talk about what Satan's actual conspiracy is. Isaiah 14, I know it by heart. How hast thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How hast thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. That, along with Ezekiel 28, you can read these. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, the entire book of Revelation, and Matthew chapter 4, Luke chapter 4, where Satan tempted Jesus. Genesis chapter 3, where Satan tempted Eve with a lie. All of these and many more places in the Bible that truth, the Bible says we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. How are we not ignorant of Satan's devices? We're not ignorant of them because Satan's devices are listed for us in the scriptures. And yet, there is no scripture anywhere that even hints at a big, huge, and this flat earth people are right. If this is true, this is the biggest conspiracy ever. They're not kidding on that one. My problem is, if this is the great, big, hugest, giant conspiracy of Satan, why is it not in the Bible? Why isn't God telling us this is what Satan is trying to do? Yes, I agree. He's trying to get people to not believe the truth. But there's no mention anywhere of Satan trying to convince people that the earth is round or the earth is a globe, and there's nothing there. So, flat earth, whole thing about Satan is not mentioned anywhere in the scripture. Let me give you an example. Let's say that a guy builds a whole church, whole big following on the fact that Adam never ate grapes. I made that one up. I hope I did. So this guy builds this church. He's got a following. He's got an internet. He's got a YouTube channel. He's got thousands of people watching him. And they all believe that Adam never ate grapes. And he somehow links this with salvation. Some of the flat earth people link this flat earth idea with salvation, saying, if you don't believe the earth is flat, you call God a liar, you believe Satan, you don't believe the Bible, you're not really saved. That's totally out of line. I'm not saying you do. That's totally out of line. So this guy builds this whole movement on Adam never ate grapes. And he's building this following, and people are falling for it. Okay? So then, you know, reasonably, Christian ministers, teachers, guys that are online, guys that are just pastoring churches, stand up and say, this guy is lying through his teeth. Don't fall for it. Don't believe it. So in response, the guy says, well, you show me in the Bible where it says Adam ate grapes and I'll believe it. The Bible doesn't say anything that Adam actually ate grapes. Can we assume that he may have? Yeah. He would have? Yeah. He had the whole Garden of Eden accessible to him. He could have eaten anything with the exception of the tree of knowledge of good and evil. The Bible doesn't say that it was an apple tree or a grapevine or nothing. It just says that it was there. And so to be able to prove to this guy that the Bible says that Adam ate grapes, you can't do it. His response is, aha, see, I'm right, because you can't show me the Bible. My point is this. Who cares if Adam ate grapes or never ate grapes? The Bible doesn't say anything about it whatsoever. So why should anybody care? And why should a guy build a church and a following on something the Bible never says? So that's my point. It's not here. The conspiracy of Satan to prove or to convince people that the earth is a globe is not anywhere in this Bible. So why would I be inclined to believe that? You say, well, why would you believe a globe earth? My point is, who cares? Why does it matter? It doesn't. It's not supposed to matter because the scripture does not provide that for us as part of what we must believe. I am bound by a new covenant that says, believe what God said. And I do. But I don't believe anything, or I can't say that salvation is based on anything that the Bible doesn't say. So, I can't, and neither should anybody else, be able to say, prove to me that where the Bible says the earth is round and I'll believe it. If you want to, if you, the lady who wrote the email, I'll call you Diane, all right? Because that's not your name. So, Diane, I don't care if you want to believe the earth is flat, okay? If you want to believe that, that's fine. You're asking me for help, and I'm giving it to you. But at the end of the day, what you believe is up to you. Now, if there was something in the Bible where I could clearly show you that if you believe a flat earth, you're going to hell, I would warn you of that. It would be my responsibility to. I don't see that here. So at the end of this, I'm leaving you up to whatever you want to believe, okay? And I would ask that you do the same. Not go around blasting everybody because they don't believe it, that the earth is flat. They don't believe the earth is flat, and there's a lot of reasons why they don't, all right? Now let's get into, you copied and pasted something from a flat earth website, and I know where it came from. Okay, so this part doesn't belong to you, but you sent me this and asked me about it, so I'm going to deal with it, all right? The other person on the website said, this is my first post. I've been doing a lot of research on the flat earth model, and I'm not yet 100% sold, but I'm leaning towards believing in it. That said, I'm a hardcore Bible believer and take the Bible seriously, and for the most part, literally. God revealed himself to me when I turned to the Lord Jesus Christ, and he showed me the Bible is his word. Not only does the Bible seem to read the earth is... Okay, seem to read the earth is flat, but that is stationary. Seem to read is not the same as adamantly says verbatim, word for word. That's not the same. And doctrine is specific. What we must believe from the Bible is very specific. And it's not, well, the Bible seems to read that the earth is flat, but that it's stationary. Okay? Well, I'll get that in a little bit. Seem to read and actually saying it are two different things. I will never capitulate to what the world says or the prevailing worldview. Again, that's up to you. If it goes against God's word, I would agree with that if it goes against God's word. You shouldn't either if you are a Bible believer, as you know the devil deceives the whole world. That I agree with. But does the Bible say that he deceives the whole world by saying it's a globe? No. According to the book of Revelation. Well, it's not just according to the book of Revelation. I've read other places in the Bible, but it's just not there. So let's read what the Bible says on this issue. The first, this is their favorite verse. Isaiah 40, verse 22. It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth, and the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers. Now, let's not do what this person did. Let's not isolate a little piece. Number one, this particular verse is from the King James. Let me read the circle around it. Paul said, walk circumspectly. Look around. Go to that verse and read what comes before and what after. So Isaiah 40, verse 21, have you not known? Have you not heard? Hath it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. Ah, there we go. So the argument is, what is the circle? And the inhabitants thereof are as grasshoppers, okay, that stretcheth out the heavens as a curtain, spreadeth them out as a tent to dwell in. One of the things about the globe, the flat earth model is that the heavens are limited to a dome 3,000 miles over the top of the earth. That's not what this says. This says, and there's a ton of other places, and that's for another video, that God stretches out the heavens and spreads the tent of heavens out. He spreads it out. It's huge. Okay? Now, let's get back to a circle. In our Pure Bible Search software, there's a Webster's 1828 dictionary. Webster's 1828, because the language of that dictionary is the language of the Bible. They're one and the same. In fact, Webster, in defining a word in the 1828 dictionary, often used scripture to define the word. So here's what Webster said about what a circle is. In geometry, a plane figure comprehended by a single curved line called its circumference, every part of which is equally distant from a point called the center. Of course, all lines drawn from the center to the circumference or periphery are equal to each other. That's a technical way of describing what a circle is. In popular use, the line that comprehends the figure, the plane or surface comprehended, and the whole body or solid matter of a round substance are denominated a circle, a ring, an orb, the earth. Webster said a circle, a ring, an orb. Okay? He says compass, circuit, as the circle of the forest. An assembly surrounding the principal person, like someone circling around somebody. A political circle. Okay? That's not literally a circle, but I know that's not what the Bible's talking about. A series ending where it begins, a perpetually repeated, a going around. Now, here's the thing. What about this is not a circle, even according to that definition? There is nothing about this that is not a circle. And there's nothing about this that does not meet the requirements of the definition of a circle. So, on this point, if you want to say, I believe the earth is this because it says circle, be my guest. But you can't say that this violates that. Because in no way, if you look at it from this way, or 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 this way, it's always a circle. It never violates Isaiah 40. Let me give you, he says circles of the sphere. That's what Webster said. Circles of latitude, circles of longitude, okay? But let me read, okay, I don't do Hebrew much, but blueletterbible.org, go to Isaiah 40, verse 22, and hit tools, and it'll give you a breakdown of every word in Isaiah 40, verse 22, including the word circle. The Hebrew word there is chug. That's how it's pronounced. Chug. K-H-U-G or C-H-U-W-G or whatever. It's a masculine noun. KJV translates Strong's in the following manner. Circle one time, circuit one time, compass one time. We'll read those verses. Outline of biblical usage. Circle, circuit, compass. Or vault of heavens. Strong's definition. A circle, circuit, compass. Gesenius Hebrew Chaldee lexicon. Circle, sphere. Used of the arch or vault of the sky. Here are the three places where this same word for circle in Isaiah 42 is used. Same Hebrew word is used. Job 22:14, thick clouds are covering to him that he seeth not, and he walketh in the circuit of the heaven. Well, the flat earth people, and I guess the round earth people, believe in the vault of the heavens. And at least, that's a half globe. At least that. Proverbs 8:27, when he prepared the heavens, I was there. When he set a compass upon the face of the depth. Isaiah 40:22, as he that sitteth upon the circle of the earth. And so, according to Job, that same Hebrew word talks about the three-dimensional vault of heaven. Okay? He walketh in the circle of heaven. And he's talking about God or Jesus, who is the bridegroom in Psalm chapter 19, the Son of righteousness. And we know that the Son moves in two different ways through the vault of heaven, through the circle of the heaven, the circuit of the heaven. Number one, every day east to west. So that's that circle. Okay, so you can say, see, that's a one line. Okay, but we also know that every year it goes from south, 23.5 degrees below the equator, to north again, 23.5 degrees above the equator, back to the south again. So it's moving in that circuit. It does a daily circuit and a yearly south to north to south circuit again. That's knowledge. That's fact. Even the flat earth have had to come up with a way that their flat earth sun accommodates that. It moves not just in a two-dimensional line. It moves in a three-dimensional line. Okay? So, again, either way, if you want to believe that circle means this, okay. But this does not violate Isaiah 40:22, and it does not violate the use of the word chug in any of the other three places in the Bible. Now, some say, you didn't bring this up, the email didn't bring this up, but I'm going to throw this in. They say, well, Isaiah knew what a ball was. Why didn't he say ball of the earth? Because he said ball earlier. So I looked it up. That's Isaiah 22, verse 17. Behold, the Lord will carry thee away with a mighty captivity and will surely cover thee. He will surely violently turn and toss thee like a ball into a large country. There shalt thou die, and there the chariots of thy glory shall be the shame of the Lord's of thy Lord's house. He shall toss thee like a ball into a large country. So I looked that word up. Okay. Again, blueletterbible.org. You have a different word, Hebrew word. It is dur, D-U-W-R, or whatever. It's a masculine noun. KJV translates Strong's H1754 in the following manner: ball, round, about, or burn. I don't get that one, but anyway. Outline of biblical usage: ball, circle, circle, ball. Gesenius Hebrew Chaldee Lexicon. A circle. Isaiah 29:3. As in a circle, roundabout, a ball, a burning pile, a round heap of wood. Okay, I get that. A round heap of wood. Okay. Isaiah 22:18. You toss thee like a ball. Isaiah 28:3 looks like I will camp against thee roundabout. Okay. That would be a circle. Two-dimensional circle. And that's the use of it. So, the use of the word ball, you say Isaiah knew the difference. Well, technically, both words could be used interchangeably. God selected the ones he wanted, I get that. But technically, both of them are used to describe either a two-dimensional circle or a three-dimensional circle. Either one. So, again, there's nothing about this so far or this that violates Scripture. All right? Now let's move on. keep track here. Now, you then it says, okay, why doesn't it read sphere of the earth? Because that word is not anywhere in the King James English Bible. It's not there. I'd have to do etymology on the word sphere to see where it came from, even if it was in use at this time. Maybe it was, I don't know. So let's move on to the next, okay? Then the subject changes. Revelation 7:1 speaks of four angels standing at the four corners of the earth. Again, that looks like King James, so Revelation 7:1. And after these things, I saw four angels standing on the four corners of the earth, holding the four winds of the earth. So the question is, it makes more sense to have four corners outside a circle than outside a sphere. What do you think? Number one, the phrase, it makes more sense, is not Bible truth. Because common sense is not common. When one person says, that makes sense to me, another person says, that doesn't make sense to me. And people reject the Bible. There are comments where this article is posted. I read the comments. There are God haters on that website who hate the Bible. And they read in there, and to them, none of it makes sense. Or big portions of it don't make sense. Does that, because their mind, the operation of their mind cannot comprehend what's being said and how it's being said, does that make it not true? Or because one person says, that makes sense to me, does that in itself make something true? And the answer is no. So I don't go with this makes more sense or that makes more sense or whatever. It's what the Bible says, period, the end, whether you comprehend it or not, whether anybody comprehends it or not. Whether anybody comprehends the true meaning of it, to me, we are saved by grace through faith, not our understanding of what the Bible says, our trust in what the Bible says. We may not understand everything that God says or does, because His ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. But we believe what God said. And even if there are disagreements, because one does it, we see through a glass darkly, meaning some things don't make sense. Peter himself said in 2 Peter concerning Paul's writing, which things are hard to understand. Peter didn't understand everything Paul said. So Peter could have said, what Paul said doesn't make sense to me. That doesn't make what Paul said not true. So that I don't, and I know you didn't say it, Diane, but that comment there, I don't base anything on it. Okay? It makes more sense to have four corners outside a circle than outside a sphere. Now, I don't understand what they're saying, but let me keep reading. Because they give verses. Let me deal with the four corners, because they only gave one verse. But here's where, Diane, I want to encourage you to do something. Instead of spending a lot of time reading Flat Earth websites and watching Flat Earth YouTube videos, spend more time reading the Bible, because I actually didn't have a good answer to this until today when I read more scriptures about the four corners and what it's talking about. The Bible actually says it. I had a theory, but I couldn't prove it. Now I can prove it in the Bible. I'm going to say it word for word. All right? So, what are these four corners? Isaiah 11:12, He shall set up an ensign for the nations and shall assemble the outcasts of Israel and gather the dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. Now, to me, this makes sense to me, right? To me, this is saying he's going to gather together dispersed of Judah from the four corners of the earth. What would that imply? Because we know that he took Judah and Israel from Jerusalem. It's right here. And he scattered them everywhere. So now they are in Europe. They're in Russia. They're in Australia. Some went down south to Africa. Some went down into South America. Some went in the United States. Some in Canada. Most of them are in New York, right? To me, the four corners is the four sections. You have the northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere. You have the eastern hemisphere and the western hemisphere. You have four quarters or four sections of the earth. And that is within the allowability of the definition of the word corner. But let me give you more Bible. Matthew 24:31. He shall send his angels with a great sound of a trumpet. They shall gather together his elect from the four winds. The four winds is what Revelation 7:1 says. I saw the four angels standing on the four corners of the earth holding the four winds of the earth. So the four winds and the four corners are together in this. And they're going to say the same thing here in a minute. His elect from the four winds from one end of the heaven to the other. Let me keep reading. Jeremiah 49:36. And upon Elam will I bring the four winds from the four quarters of heaven. Ah! In Matthew 24, he said the four winds from one end of heaven to the other. In Jeremiah 49:36, the four winds are from the four quarters, the four sections, subdivisions of heaven. North, south, east, west. And you're saying, oh, that's not what it means. Wait a minute. God said it does. And I will scatter them toward all those winds, and there shall be no nation whither the outcast of Elam shall not come. 1 Chronicles 9:24. In four quarters were the porters toward the east, west, north, and south. God said that the four corners and the four winds and the four quarters are east, west, north, and south. 1 Chronicles 9:24, Jeremiah 49:36, Matthew 24:31, Isaiah 11:12. That's what God said. Revelation 20:8, and shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth. The north quarter, the south quarter, the east quarter, and the west quarter. And gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. So again, I had a theory that the four corners were the four positions, north, south, east, and west. And when I read more of the scriptures, God said it better than I could have. And if God says it, if God says that the four corners are the four directions, I can't argue with him. So I have to believe exactly what God said. But again, there can be four. Well, I do see that there are three directions on here, but south? That's another video. If you're on the flat earth and you point in any given direction, according to the flat earth model, you're pointing south. Because south is a circle around you. Okay? And that is not what south is. Anyway. Now, what's the next question? Next question. Isaiah 66:1. I didn't spend a lot of time on this. Thus saith the Lord, the heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. So the phrase is, it would be kind of awkward to have a spherical footstool as opposed to a flat footstool. Don't you think? Again, how I think and how you think do not rise to the level of the truth of God's Word. But Google an image of a footstool, and you're going to see that some people put their feet on a ball. Google it. Okay? And I didn't spend a lot of time on that. So, anyway. Now, the next point is, as he starts, I will say to the north, give them up, and to the south, don't keep them back. Bring my sons from far away and my daughters from the ends of the earth. Stop right here. That is not King James. Now, I missed something here because I have in my notes. About Satan showing the kingdom. I'll get to that in a minute, I think. So let me deal with these verses here that are not King James. Okay? Again, I don't cherry pick translations. so that I can find the one that says what I think or what I want it to think. A lot of preachers do that. Anybody who's going to say something contrary to the Bible knows that they can always go to another translation or just go to Hebrew, Greek, and retranslate it to make it say what you want it to say. People do that all the time. That irritates me, and it's wrong. So, there are not all of these, but one of these is from not a King James Version. So, what are the ends of the earth? The ends of the earth, and the statement is, how can there be ends of the earth in a spherical earth? It makes more sense in a flat earth model. Again, let's read scripture. Okay? The ends of the earth. Deuteronomy 13:7, namely the gods of the people which are round about you, nigh unto thee, or far off from thee, from one end of the earth even unto the other end of the earth. So one says, you can't have an end of the earth on a sphere. You can only have it on a flat disc. Deuteronomy 28:49, the Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth. From the end of the earth. Not ends, end. From the end of the earth. Where the earth ends, where the earth stops. There actually is such a place, because let me show you that God clearly made a line of division between heaven and earth, where one ends, the other begins. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Two different things. Then he said, in verse 8, God called the firmament heaven, evening and morning were the second day. Then he said, in verse 10, God called the dry land earth. Okay? So heaven is not earth, and earth is not heaven. Clearly there is an end of, there's even an end of the second heaven. There's an end to the second heaven, where it is separated between that and the third heaven. They don't phase into each other. There's a clear line of division between earth and heaven. And the Bible, now let me give you this. Let me give you a term from science. I didn't know this term until the other day. The Kármán line, K-A-R-M-A-N. There is a Wikipedia article on it. And let me read part of what it says. If you go to Wikipedia and type in edge of space, you'll get redirected to the Kármán line. The Kármán line lies at an altitude of 100 kilometers, 62 miles, or 330,000 feet above the Earth's sea level, and commonly represents the boundary between Earth's atmosphere and outer space. Okay? So, there's a line where the edge, let's say in your flat Earth model, there is a line between the edge of air and what they say is a hard dome. The Bible doesn't say that. So, that's where earth ends and heaven begins. The end of the earth. Now, let me keep reading verses. It's going to make it more... The Bible's going to say exactly what I said. Deuteronomy 28:64, and the Lord shall scatter thee among all people from the one end of the earth even unto the other, and there shalt thou serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. Deuteronomy 33:17, his glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and his horns are like the horns of unicorns. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, they are the 1,000s of Manasseh. Job 28:24, for he looketh to the ends of the earth, and seeth under the whole heaven. That's it. This verse, and it's more than one, actually defines for you the ends of the earth. The ends of the earth are everything under the whole heaven. That's what the Bible says. Here's another one. Daniel 4:11, the tree grew and was strong. The height thereof reached unto heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth. Heaven is the line where the earth, where heaven begins, the earth ends. Job 37:3, he directeth it under the whole heaven, and his lightning unto the ends of the earth. The whole heaven is where the ends of the earth are and where heaven begins. Psalm 19:4, their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. In them hath he set a tabernacle for the sun. And Psalm 19:4, you go look at the context, walk circle around it. It's talking about the heavens. The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. So their line has gone out through all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. The heavens are the end of the world. Psalm 135:7, he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. He maketh lightnings for the rain. He bringeth the winds out of his treasuries. The vapors ascend out of the ends of the earth, and they go up, and what do they become? Clouds. And then they come back down. Proverbs 30, verse 4. Who hath ascended up into heaven, or descended? Who hath gathered the wind in his fist? Who hath bound the waters in a garment? Who hath established all the ends of the earth? What is his name? What is his son's name? If thou canst tell. His son's name is Jesus. We all know that, right? But here, he ascended up into heaven and established all the ends of the earth. Heaven is the end of the earth. Jeremiah 10:13. When he uttereth his voice, there's a multitude of waters in the heavens, and causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. Now there's putting them two together. The multitude of waters from the heavens came when the vapors ascended from the ends of the earth. The Karman line, there is a line that separates the earth from heaven. That's the ends of the earth. Jeremiah 10:13, when he utters his, there's a multitude of water, read that. Jeremiah 51:16, when he utters his voice, there's a multitude of waters in the heavens, and he causeth the vapors to ascend from the ends of the earth. No, I just didn't read the same verse again. One is in Jeremiah 10:13, one is in Jeremiah 51:16. They both say the same thing. Zechariah 9:10, and I will cut off the chariot from Ephraim, and the horse from Jerusalem, and the battle bow shall be cut off, and he shall speak peace unto the heathen, and his dominion shall be from sea even to sea. You know, there's a delineation between the Atlantic Ocean and the Pacific Ocean, and yet they're connected. In fact, the Atlantic, the Pacific, the Indian Ocean, the Arctic Ocean, Mediterranean, and yet they're all connected. But there's an end to one and a beginning of another. From sea to sea, and from the river even to the ends of the earth. Where did the river stop? At the end of the land. Okay? There's an end. There's a line that separates everything. And there is a line, a clear line, even a scientific line, that matches what the science knowledge of the Karman line does not violate the scriptures. The scriptures prove that that line exists. Okay? So, the phrase, you know, it makes sense, or it makes more sense. Again, this rephrase references the operation of an individual's mind. What makes sense to one does not make sense to another, but that's not what truth is. Truth is what this says, and only what this says. If a scientific fact then matches what the Bible says, then science is true. If a scientific fact does not directly contradict what the Bible says, you can accept it as true or not true. Okay? But this, we both agree, is truth. Now, the next question was... Oh, okay, here's where I missed it. Satan showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the earth. How is that possible if the earth is spherical? It would make more sense if the earth is flat. Now again, I don't do that phrase. I actually have a teaching. You can look at the King James Code series, the number 4. I've taught on the number 4 many times. There is a dimension higher than our three-dimensional world, and the Bible clearly teaches that. Okay, so I'm not sure exactly where to find it. I'll try to find the link to it, put it in the comments or the descriptions here. I'll try to, but somebody else may if you find it. All right? But let me give you the two verses in the scripture that hope will give you an understanding of this. In Luke chapter 4, verse 5, the devil taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Now, flat earthers say the earth had to be a flat disk in order for them to see all of it. Okay. But then Matthew 4, 8 tells us something. It adds a little bit of knowledge to this. Again, the devil taketh him up unto an exceeding high mountain. This was not any normal high mountain. This mountain exceeded high. It exceeded it. It was far above what high is. It was a higher dimension. It was and I believe, and I would never say, well, if you don't believe this, you're not going to heaven. I believe that when it says he showed him all the kingdoms of the earth, of the world in a moment of time, I believe he showed him every single one of them from the beginning of time to the end of time. And said, not just the ones that were present right then. He said, I'll give you every one of these. And he did that by taking him up into a place where he could see. Fourth dimension, you can see all around a globe Earth. You can see everything. In a three-dimensional, you can see. Just like in a three-dimensional, I can see what's on this two-dimensional page. I can see everything that's on this two-dimensional page. Okay? He's up one dimension higher and he's showing them everything. And he's showing them even the ones in the past and the ones in the future. And again, that's what I believe. I have a better teaching on the meaning of the number four in the Bible and the fact that it teaches a higher dimension, that to me, this matches that better than anything else. But I'm not going to argue it with anybody because, again, if you want to believe that, that's up to you. I already dealt with the ends of the earth. Okay, now, New Jerusalem. Because the article said, the New Jerusalem, as written in the book of Revelation, which is roughly 1,500 miles and shaped like a cube, would seesaw on a spherical earth. How would that be possible on a spherical earth? And you know, I thought about it, and I'm going, well, you know, yeah, that, I get that. Wait a minute. The New Jerusalem never touches this earth. Never does. The New Jerusalem does not come down from heaven until this earth is gone. Revelation 21, verse 1, I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, we don't know what the new earth is going to be shaped like or look like. We don't know. So, the New Jerusalem question is moot because the New Jerusalem does not ever touch either this earth or this one. It doesn't touch either one of them. Again, the Bible really does answer these questions, I think, pretty well. All right. Okay. Psalm 74:17. In Psalm 74:17 reads, God has established the borders of the earth. How can there be borders in a spherical earth? Well, here's Psalm 74:17 in King James. Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. Thou hast made summer and winter. And which is, to me, that's interesting because he's talking about borders. There's a border between summer and winter. In fact, from observation, which is how we attain knowledge, from seeing things, people have seen for thousands of years that there's a certain day where the day stops getting shorter, the daylight time stops getting shorter. And then the next day, it starts getting a little bit longer every day. that's observable. So that's not NASA. That's not government. That's not science. That is common knowledge. Okay? It's a fact. In fact, the Bible actually says that God has made summer and winter, and there's a border between them. Okay? So I think that's cool that the Bible actually tells you that there's a border. There's a clear line of difference between winter and summer. It has to do with the length that we can actually measure it and observe it and know it. All right? And the Bible does not contradict it, and that does not contradict what the Bible says. In fact, the Bible says it. Says it better, and I believe what the Bible, and I know you do too. But concerning the borders of the earth, let me read Genesis chapter 1, verse 9. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth. The gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. So the question is, how can there be borders on a spherical earth? How can the earth have a border? Well, we've already seen the Kármán line, but if you look in Genesis 1, when God raised the earth out of the water, there is a clear border. It's called the beach. It's a clear border between the earth and the sea. God made the earth is not the sea, and the sea is not the earth. And there is a clear border there. And that what does that match Psalm 74:17? Thou hast set all the borders of the earth. God is the one who did that. Does that violate Psalm 74:17? Not in any way. It matches what. Now you might want to say, well, it doesn't mean that. How do you know? I'm not asking what it means. I'm asking what it says. Does Genesis 1:9 confirm the borders of the earth, or does it contradict the borders of the earth? It confirms it. Now, I've been waiting to get to this one. The next part of the email gives us two verses, Genesis 15:12, Matthew 5:45. And it only quotes a little piece of them, which I don't like. So let me read Genesis 15:12. And when the sun was going down, a deep sleep fell upon Abram, and lo and horror of great darkness fell upon him. Okay? We also can observe that when the sun goes down, it's dark. Okay? So Matthew 5:45, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. So the question is, over 60 scriptures that reads the sun rises or goes down. Not one scripture reads the earth is spinning. Why is that? Now, I don't have an answer for why the Bible doesn't tell us whether Adam ate grapes or not. And I don't have an answer as to why the Bible doesn't tell us that the earth is spinning or it's not spinning. I don't have that. What I have is what convinces me that the flat earth model cannot be true. This is the one area, since this was brought up, this is the one area that violates, where the flat earth model violates the scripture. Now, I'm not going to argue if there are in fact 60 scriptures that reads the sun rises and goes down. I would say that's pretty close. That's going to be probably the next video that I make on this, and I'm going to show you a little preview of it. Here's the disc flat earth. Now, since they came up with the flat earth, they had to start answering things that we clearly see. Nobody can say, well, the sun doesn't go down, sun doesn't rise. Nobody can say that. All you have to do is get up 5:30 in the morning and watch it. You can watch it with your eyes rise. You can watch it with your eyes go down. If you want to spend all day, you can clearly watch the sun. It'll never move where you can detect its motion, but you know it's moving, right? Because you look one place, it's here, and you look another place, it's here. Every deer season, I get up early before daylight, sit out my stand, and I watch that sunrise. I love it. Okay? And at the end of the day, I'm in my deer stand, I'm watching the sun go down. So they had to start coming up with models that would answer all these things. And these models don't work. Because here's what they want you to believe. Here's the flat earth disk, and they say that the sun is 3,000 miles above the earth. Now, this is not to scale. The model that I'm going to give you in the next video is going to be a scale model. So I don't know what 3,000 miles would be. I don't know if it would be this or this or this. Let me show you their model. Now, if you're here, they say that you don't actually see the sun going down. You only actually seeing it go away. That's not true. But anyway, let me show you what violates the scripture. It's not going down. And it's not rising up. And if it's not doing what God said it does, then I don't believe it. Diane, you say you believe only the Bible. You trust only the Bible. And you know the sun rises up from... If you've ever been on a ship, you go on a cruise, where you're out at flat ocean, there's no hills or mountains or anything to obscure the horizon, and you know the sun is coming up from below your line of sight, below the horizon, and going down below the other horizon. You know it. And that's exactly what the Bible says in over 60 verses, probably. But this doesn't do that. Not in any model that the flat earth people have ever come up with does it do this. It violates 60 verses of scripture. And I can't believe it. I can't believe it. Period. Alright? So I'm glad you brought that up. Now, the next part is, then it says, if the earth, it talks about, when Joshua commanded the sun to stand still and the moon to stand still. They say, if the earth really stopped spinning in the place the Bible says the sun stopped or went backwards, it would have cataclysmic effects. It would have made Noah's flood look like a puddle. It would cause unfathomable earth disruptions, massive land shifts, immense earthquakes, spewing volcanoes. Would have, could have, should have, is not did. Okay, it's not did. Well, you can't testify in court. Well, he would have done it. That's not the objection, Your Honor. Speculation. You can't testify as to the operation of what would have happened because you don't know what would have happened. You only know what did happen. And what we know is the sun stopped and the moon stopped and nothing like that happened on the earth. So let's say in a globe Earth, in the heliocentric model, that God actually stopped everything. How powerful is He? How powerful is God? Can God make the earth shake if He wants to? Yeah. Can God make the earth stop shaking if He wants to? Yeah. It says, unsoundable earth disruptions. Noah's flood looked like a puddle. Can God stop a violent storm? Yeah. So just because in the heliocentric model, the earth's doing this, just because some say it happened like this where the earth actually stopped, if God's powerful enough to stop the motion of the earth, why is He not powerful enough to stop the effects of what would have happened? So that question it doesn't work. It's not, it's an assumption based upon an assumption, but it's not actually something the Bible says or doesn't say. Now, here's where my problem with this article started. Well, I had several of them, but this is really where I said, nah, uh-uh. So it says, moreover, it reads in Psalm 93:1, thou hast fixed the earth immovable and firm. Psalm 96:10, he has fixed the earth firm, immovable. Psalm 104:5, thou didst fix the earth on its foundation so that it never can be shaken. Isaiah 45:18, who made the earth and fashioned it and himself fixed it fast. That is not what the Bible says. So let me read to you the... Here we go. This is the King James. Where is it? Psalm 96. Where did I go with it? Psalm 96:10. I have them here somewhere. Here we go. Say among the heathen that the Lord reigneth, and the world also be established that it shall not be moved. Psalm 104:5. Who laid the foundations of the earth that it should not be removed forever? Isaiah 45:18, for thus saith the Lord that created the heavens, God himself that formed the earth and made it, he hath established it and created it not in vain, he formed it to be inhabited. I am the Lord, there is none else. So the language matters. The language matters. And to cherry pick verses just because you like what it says because it proves your model better than what the King James says, I don't go for that. Okay? So, but the question is, here's Psalm 93:1 in the King James. Lord reigneth, he is clothed with majesty. The Lord is clothed with strength, wherewith he hath girded himself. The world also is established that it cannot be moved. Now, 1 Chronicles 16:30 is a double witness to that verse. Fear before him all the earth. The world also shall be stable that it be not moved. Stabilized. Okay. At best, these verses in the King James are pointing to a geocentric model. There's nothing wrong with believing a geocentric model. Geocentric model says that the sun moves around the earth and God stopped the sun. Joshua stopped the sun. Okay, because that's what it says. Now, if you want to believe geocentricity, I strongly encourage that. Strongly encourage you, but geocentricity never forces the earth to be flat. There is nothing about geocentricity that says and demands scientifically or biblically that there. And when people say the Bible says the earth is flat, where? Then they give me all these verses about it not being moved and it being stable, that it cannot be moved. That is not. That does not make it flat at all. It establishes a geocentric model, but geocentricity is not a flat earth, and nothing about geocentricity makes the earth have to be flat. Nothing about it does. Okay? They then go on to talk about the pillars of the earth. Do you know the heavens have pillars too? Do you know that? For the pillars of when the Bible reads the earth has pillars, when the earth and all its people quake, it is I who hold its pillars firm. Again, use King James. Okay. Psalm 75:3, the earth and all the inhabitants thereof are dissolved. I bear up the pillars of it. 1 Samuel 2:8, he raises up the poor of the dust and lifted up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes, to make them inherit the throne of glory. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he has set the world upon them. Okay, now. Job, let me read some more verses. Job 9:6, which shaketh the earth out of her place, and the pillars thereof tremble. Now, I have a question. It's a legitimate question. I'm not saying I have the answer to. If God said that the earth cannot be moved, but he says here, the earth is moved out of her place, or shaketh the earth out of her place. There are other verses in the Bible that says the earth is moved. And yet these verses say the earth is not moved. Now, I'm not saying there's a contradiction in the Bible. I'm saying I don't have an understanding of how to reconcile the two. But you can't say the Bible never says the earth is moving, because that is not true. And I will present that in another video. But you can't say that, because there are verses that, again, I can't match. I can't see how they get along. Okay? But I can't be adamant in saying the earth is stapled down and it's never moved, because it is and it's going to be. The pillars, okay, anyway, the Bible does talk about the pillars of the earth and the foundation of the earth, something holding the earth up. It could very well be that under all, and even under the ocean, we know there's land there. There's it's wet, it's underwater, but we know that there's solid rock at the bottom of the ocean. There is something holding all of that up. In other words, it's not collapsing on itself. It's, you know, the purpose of pillars in any building is to support what's up from it crashing in on itself. It's the reason why I'm saying this. Because if you say, see, the Bible says the earth has to have pillars. So they draw this picture of these pillars like this that the earth is sitting on. However, Job 26:7, he stretcheth out the north over the empty place and hangeth the earth upon nothing. Which is it? Is the flat earth sitting on pillars, or is it hanging on nothing? Because it can't be both like this. If you say, see, that proves there's pillars holding the earth up, but God said he hung it on absolutely nothing. So what I believe is that this is hanging on nothing, but that supporting every landmass in the visible land and the rock underneath the ocean, supporting that are pillars. Things holding it up. Now, I mentioned the pillars of heaven. Have you ever seen those? Because it says, Job 26:11, the pillars of heaven tremble and are astonished at his reproof. Where are the pillars of heaven? What's holding the heaven up? I have an answer. Same thing holding all those clouds up. I mean, there's a clear line where clouds are sitting up there. What's holding those clouds up? What are supporting those clouds? It's called atmospheric pressure. We know, this is science that the Bible does not contradict, and it does not contradict the Bible. We know, we can measure, my bones know atmospheric pressure. When low pressure is on its way, low pressure means all that water that was being held up in the clouds, it's going to come down because there isn't enough pressure to hold it up. It's going to be drawn down, actually. High pressure means no rain. It's staying up there. So it could be said accurately that the pillars of heaven are what's holding all of that rain up there. And it would be atmospheric pressure. Can wind be pillars? Well, Joel chapter 2, verse 30, I will show wonders in the heavens and the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. You've seen a pillar of smoke, haven't you? You know what causes that? Differences in atmospheric pressure. Here in Revelation 10, this mighty angel has feet as pillars of fire. What was it that led Israel through the wilderness? Pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. What can a pillar be made of? Does it have to be made of iron or rock or steel? Or can it be made of air or fire? Okay? There's an answer. There's a Bible answer to all these questions. That's what you asked me to do. Okay? Now, having pillars don't make much sense for a spherical earthquake. Don't make much sense. I don't go for that. That's not Bible truth. Okay? Then, moreover, it reads, in the biblical creation, there was no sun for the earth to go around until the fourth day. So what? So what? We know that God clearly divided the light from darkness in Genesis chapter 1. Let there be light. God said that, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. But how did he do that? We don't know, but we believe it. So how does not making a sun until day four prove that the earth is flat? It doesn't. The Bible reads, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, so the earth is special in God. You know what I believe? I believe that the earth is absolutely the center of the universe and the focus of everything that God does. Geocentric. Geo's earth, centric. The earth is the exact center of the heavens and the exact focus of everything that God does. Everything that God does from the beginning of time until the end is about what happens on this earth. Everything. Okay? Now, the last paragraph in this, I'm just going to read it, is my belief that it was Satan. Prove it. Not you, but the one who put this article on that Flat Earth website. You believe in Satan? Prove it. You believe the Bible? Prove it with Bible verses. Don't tell me what you believe. People believe that they can pray to statues. Okay? Prove it. Proof in the Bible that you can pray to statues and they're going to answer you back. The one who deceives the whole world, who is the one responsible for the Copernicus revolution. Prove it. To make it seem man is insignificant. That's not what the Copernicus revolution was about. It was not about that. And as if God doesn't exist or care. That's not, again, prove it. We are just on a rock or in a random part of the universe with no goal. Now, there are people who believe that. There are people who believe that. But how does that mean that the earth is not this? That's what these godless scientists would have us believe. Again, not all scientists are godless, and not all science is wrong. Science is knowledge. Knowledge is one of the seven spirits of God. But if the world knew the earth was at the center of the universe, one would have to be pretty blind to think this was all an accident. If the world knew the universe rotated around the earth, that would imply a designer and a lot less. There's a lot better things in this world that show and prove intelligent design, like the human eye. How does the human eye, with its rods and cones, cause us to see and observe the world around us? How did that evolve? How can the first cell that needs at least mitochondria, which burns energy, so it creates energy for the cell, cell wall, nucleus with DNA in it, how can that first cell just pop up and then have enough to keep it energized, have enough food to be able to take it in and consume it, and then take the DNA and make another copy of it and make another cell, reproduce itself? How can it do that? That's like taking 3 billion pieces of paper, thrown out in the field with a typewriter, and say, in about 4.8 billion years, it's going to write a book all by itself. I don't believe that. There are a lot better things that prove intelligent design. Okay? And a lot less people would reject Jesus Christ and end up in hell. Well, I'm sorry, but there are all kinds of lies that people follow, and they're all going to end up in hell. And you proving the earth's flat is not going to fix that. Remember, the goal of Satan is to keep people from believing the truth, who is Jesus Christ at all costs. And that I agree with. But again, you said, it is my belief that it was Satan. Prove it. Prove it. You want me to believe that this is Satan's conspiracy? Prove it. That's my challenge. Okay? And again, if you're a flat earther, you're going to mock, you're going to scoff, you're going to leave comments, you're going to call me names, you're going to pick apart what I said, you're going to say that I say things that I didn't say, you're going to lie about me. You're going to they've already said that I'm a Mason, they said I'm a Satanist, they said I'm not a Bible believer. They said all kinds of things about me. I anticipated all this and decided that I don't care. I don't care what comments people make on the YouTube channel. I don't care what people say. I don't care how the flat earth people are going to mock and scoff and try to poke holes in everything I said. You asked me to give you Bible verses to answer those questions, and that's exactly what I did. And again, Diane, I hope, and again, if you, at the end of this, you still won't believe there's flat, then you can. I don't, and I don't have to. Not until I see and hear that God tells me I have to. And I don't see it. So whether you end up still believing it, that's up to you. Again, that whole thing about the sun not going down and not going up, that ends it for me. Okay? So many verses that tells that. I observe it every day. And yet, the Flat Earth model says it's not true. Because they say, well, it only appears to do that. That's not what the Bible says. And you know it. The Bible doesn't say, well, the sun appears to go down. As the sun appears to go down, as the sun appears to rise up. That's not what it says. As it rises, as it goes down. So I'm going to leave you with that. And I hope that you understand, I'm not poking fun at anybody. I've not mentioned anybody's name who makes flat earth videos. I'm just talking about the idea itself. I'm not buying it, and I don't believe it, and I don't have to. Okay? You decide who you think I am, what you think I am, and what you think about what I said. All right? And I love you. I do. That's why I took the time to answer your questions. Take care.